God's grace and His peace be multiplied unto you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we consider God's Word as it is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This is the word of our God. Dear fellow redeemed, in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Christians, we don't believe in luck, nor do we believe in coincidence. And so we can safely say that it was not random chance that brought together the shepherds to be in that specific field on that particular night. The Lord had set this up a long time ago. He wanted them there, and He was going to supply them with this wonderful message from His angels. They were in the right place, in the right time, and they reacted to the news of Jesus in the right way. You also are in the right place at the right time, for we have gathered together this evening and have heard the very same words that the shepherds did. We have announced to us the birth of our Savior, Jesus. What's our reaction to that message? You've heard in the past two Wednesdays, the reactions of Herod as he reacted in fear, the reaction of John the Baptist as he leapt in his mother's womb. And tonight, we pray that we respond in the same way that the shepherds did. They reacted and responded in faith. May God's Holy Spirit open our hearts tonight to receive His message. I've tried to picture in my mind what it must have looked like that evening. Perhaps you have too. I don't even know what the glory of God would look like with one angel, much less the sky lit up with a multitude of the heavenly host as we read. I don't think any painting or drawing could do it justice. I don't think any computer graphics or any type of movie that would be put together depicting this would do it justice. We're left just with our imagination to try to picture how what the shepherds must have seen. But we can feel with them that same joy in that message. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And this proclamation, just think of what the angels were telling them and us, that the long-awaited Savior had arrived. And he was born not just for all people. I mean, that's wonderful enough to think he's here for the whole world. But then to narrow it down and for them to say, for unto you is born this day. And to consider that the Savior, the Son of God, who is there not just for the high and mighty of the world, but for every single one of us. He is a personal Savior, one that you can cling to and know that He has come to this earth just for you. The reaction then that the shepherds had to this tremendous news that their Savior that they had been waiting for had been born was one of faith. They believed that the event had occurred. They didn't go to Bethlehem to try and see if the angels were telling the truth or the angel was telling the truth in that message. They didn't go to verify, but they went because they believed. They said in verse 15 of our text, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." In their minds and in their hearts, they knew that it had already occurred. It had come to pass. So now let's go there and see Him. Let us go and worship the Savior. Yeah, they didn't go to verify. They went to worship. Their actions demonstrate that faith will move you toward further action. You're just not going to stand still. You are going to react and you are going to have a positive response when you believe. Like with the shepherds, they heard and they believed and they went to worship. So how do we imitate then those shepherds who had this particular mission? They knew exactly where he was. Well, in Bethlehem, they knew that he would be the only baby laid in a feed trough, just wrapped in strips of cloth. They had to identify him by this angel's sign to among all the infants in Bethlehem. Which one was he? How do we imitate them? Because we can't go to Bethlehem and find a feed trough, a manger in which our Savior is laid. We go towards Jesus when we worship Him. That's how we imitate the shepherds. Whether it's gathered together as a group as we are this evening, whether it's in private at home having a devotion, or maybe even in your bed saying your prayers at night. When we have that belief in our Lord, worship is going to be a response of faith. We're compelled to go toward that one who loves us and who saved us and make Him the priority in our lives. We're going to then want to run towards Him, not only in times of joy and thankfulness, but in times of our most dire need. For who else can help us in this life and the next but the Almighty Son of God? So we rush towards the manger in faith, knowing in this infant is the true Son of God who took on human flesh. We worship Him. In faith, we look towards the cross, which cast an ominous shadow over the manger. The sorrow that would pierce through Mary's heart as well as our own, knowing that it was our sin that drove the Savior to the cross. It was our sin that caused Him to suffer. It was for our sin that He took on human flesh and blood in order to be that sacrifice for us. So we run towards our Savior. We go towards Him in faith because He's the one who has filled our most pressing need by releasing us from the bondage of sin and Satan. The response of faith continued in verse 17, as we read, "Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." I highly doubt that the shepherds had to huddle together and have a conference to try to figure out what to do next after they had been to Bethlehem and had seen the Son of God in human flesh. And here again, faith is responding because And you can think of the Hallmark moment that we might picture this as in our nativity sets. But it was a grimy, dirty place. Joseph and Mary were two poor people without means, without influence to get anywhere else to stay. And here was, they were, as they were to believe, the Savior of the world in a barn or in a cave, in a stable. But in faith, they saw it for what it truly was, and they believed it had come to pass. They saw it. Their response then was to glorify Him, to make widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. We know how that is when we have good news. You know, if we have a baby born into our household, we don't hesitate. We'll call somebody in the middle of the night or text or whatever today. We want to get that news out. We're bursting to tell somebody what we have to offer them, what we're witness to, the joy that has filled our lives. So away with any good news, whether it's sports team winning, getting engaged, whatever the case may be. When we have good news, that's our natural reaction to go tell somebody about it. Shepherds did that with this news of Jesus. But I find that in my own life, and I think it's the same with everybody here tonight, that there can be times of hesitancy in talking about the joy of our faith, the joy that we have in Jesus. And I don't know what it is. It's a mystery to me. Whether it's our human flesh rearing its ugly head, that we're fearful or embarrassed, whether it's Satan that causes us to go against what is in our nature to celebrate with others, and somehow when it comes to talking about our faith, we have times where we restrain ourselves and hesitate with what we really ought to be saying, not valuing that message when we should. However, when we can overcome that reluctance and let the good news flow from us, then good things happen. When the shepherds reported what they had heard, and they made widely known the saying, in verse 18 it says, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." There had to be amazement when people heard the story of the shepherds, although some might have thought they were crazy. But here, just go through the list. They had seen an angel at first, then a sky full of angels, the mark, the sign that they'd given, that they were given, turned out to be correct. The baby was there. This was the Christ, the one that they'd been waiting for centuries, for dozens of generations, anticipating in their religion and their faith life throughout their, as far back as could be remembered, they were waiting, and here He was. And how can it not be that people would marvel if they are enlightened with this story? The virgin birth. Doesn't that blow your mind? Or it ought to. That here is the Savior, this Jesus, born to a woman with beyond natural means, in true God and true man, not half and half. And the fact that the Lord would leave His heavenly throne on high to come to this earth to rescue us is extraordinary. We do not want to numb ourselves to the wonders of Christmas. We want to have that same initial excitement that the shepherds did and be able to share that with others so they can marvel along with us at the grace of our God. The reaction of faith also led to this, not only the marveling, but a pondering as Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I suppose after a while, after 9 months of pregnancy, everything seemed quite ordinary to her, or she became used to this. And to have these men intrude on her the night that her son was born must have brought her back into focus and into the reality of what was going on in her life. The news that the angel had brought to her that she would be the mother of the Lord. And so she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so when you respond in faith and spread the word, that will also be a reaction that will happen. There will be those that will mull these things over and meditate upon them. That's a good reaction too. That's not to say everybody that we share this news with will believe, but the bottom line is there will be positive reactions when we respond with sharing that good news. Finally, in verse 20, we read that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Where did they return to? Well, I'm going to guess, well, I'm quite sure they went back to work. They had a shift to finish. Their flocks were still out in the field. They had to continue with their earthly tasks. Same is true with us. We all have things to do tomorrow, whether it's going to school, going to work, taking care of young ones, taking care of older ones, taking care of your own body and your own needs, being stewards of what God has given us. Each one of us has earthly tasks that we are going to do tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. We're not going to stay here in this sanctuary worshiping Jesus formally. That doesn't go on. We all have our earthly lives to live, tasks that the Lord Himself has put in front of us. It doesn't mean, though, that we stop being Christians. There is a danger as Christians to compartmentalize ourselves, to say, well, when we're here in church, this is how I'm going to be. When I'm at work, I'll be another way. I've got church me, work me, home life me, weekend me. And we're going to act differently in all these different situations. That's not the way that we are as Christians, because no matter what we're doing, we don't lose the essence of who we are as children of God. We are citizens of heaven before we're citizens of this earth. A while ago, there was a survey in which people were asked, to what or to whom would you be more loyal, your faith, your religion, or your country? I know there was an outrage when there were Muslims that responded, well, my faith. But as Christians, wouldn't we respond in the same way, that that's going to take the priority in our lives above country, even above friends and family? That's going to flavor everything that we do. Because although, like the shepherds, we return to our tasks, we do so glorifying and praising God for all the things that we have heard and seen as God has revealed them to us. So tonight with the shepherds, realize anew, let that reverberate in your hearts, that your eternal fate has been changed due to the birth of Jesus so many years ago. Hear with fresh ears the word of the angel is that unto you there has been born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So yeah, you're going to go back home tonight. You're going to go about your routine tomorrow. But like the shepherds, return and do so glorifying and praising God. Don't leave your true Christmas joy here at the church. That good news of Jesus is meant to be received, believed, and shared. Amen.